listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Swear upon your country's altar never to submit or falter to arms,
to arms,
to arms,
to arms,
to arms,
to arms in Dixie.
Till the spoilers are defeated, till the Lord's work is completed. To arms,
to arms,
to arms,
to arms,
to arms,
to arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie. Hurrah, hurrah. For Dixie's land we take our stand, and live or die for Dixie.
Oh, Keith, what are we going to do next month? Without March Around the World, without Confederate History Month, you know, you kind of, it's going to be with the riding without training wheels again come May. We'll figure it out. But listen, this is the last hour of back-to-back special series. Have you enjoyed yourself the last 2 months, Keith?
Absolutely, but I'd have no fear about the future because I know the left will come up with another enormity that we can comment on.
Well, we have so many guests that we can have on, and so many guests that we're now opened up to come May that don't have to necessarily be of an international or southern persuasion, and we look forward to getting back to that, but I've really enjoyed presenting the last 2 months to you, ladies and gentlemen. And let me just, again, we recognize April as Confederate History Month, and they call it Confederate Heritage Month. We call it Confederate History Month. You can call it whatever you like. But this was a month that, has been historically officially designated by several state governments in the South for the purpose of recognizing and honoring the Confederate States of America, the veterans of the war between the states from the South. April has traditionally been chosen because Confederate Memorial Day falls during that month in many of the states. Of course, the war began in April of 1861 and ended in April of 1865. And Confederate Memorial Day, also known as Confederate Decoration Day here in Tennessee and Confederate Heroes Day in Texas, is an official holiday and or observance day in the South to honor those who died fighting for the Confederate States of America. Those men always outnumbered, outsupplied, but never outfought. And, of course, just a few days ago, I read the lamentations from the Southern Poverty Law Center because even still in the current year, the state of Mississippi recognized by official decree of the governor April as Confederate Heritage Month in the state of Mississippi, and other states are doing that too across the South, and that still does happen. This is not something we made up.
It just barely beat out Morris D's Commemoration Day.
But we certainly do our part here on TPC to contribute to the festivities. Every live episode during the month of April, you can expect programming being devoted to all things Southern, and we've had a lot of great guests over the years, including Michael Andrew Grissom, the noted Southern author, Southern by the Grace of God, The Last Rebel Yell. We were talking about The Rebel Yell in the last hour. South Carolina Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell. You know, we had revisiting that interview from 2012 with Congressman Walter Jones while he was a member of Congress. And we had Lieutenant Governor Glenn McConnell of South Carolina when he was the Lieutenant Governor. So, you know, the TPC is very unique in that regard and what we can do and the connections we have.
Do so much with so little.
But why do we celebrate Confederate History Month each year? Well, it's because we have a genuine pride for our Southern heritage and a deep love and respect for those ancestors who fought our way of life from 1861 to 65.
You ran a good article about one of my Confederate ancestors.
Just yesterday at thepoliticalcesspool.org.
And I mentioned IES Alexander, who's in the 15th Tennessee Cavalry riding under Forrest. Let me tell you, all of my Confederate ancestors, I mention their names every chance I get, so their memories will not be forgotten. So, and I recommend that all of you out there, if you have Confederate ancestors, mention their names, make your children aware of who they are, take them to their graves, let them know where they are, so we can continue to keep our heritage alive and well.
That was the chapter I wrote, and it ended up being the opening chapter in the book, The Honorable Cause. I wrote that chapter. It is very important to take your children to the graves of your ancestors and your betters and your heroes. And And, you know, we have always, this has always been a part of our show, a fabric of the program. Going back, I mean, we read about this, the battle we had against Al Sharpton in 2005 when we first cut our teeth and all the media attention that got. We had 250 people that we drew, and we were just months on the air at that time. But then there was the Forest Park event in 2015. This was right after Dylann Roof, when they were going after every Confederate monument in the country. And we helped organize a counter-resistance to that at the time in 2015. And it got to be so big, Homeland Security called me. All right, you know, they paid me a visit, and they were courteous, but they conveyed to me that there had arisen a problem concerning our permit for this Forest Park vigil that we had in 2015. Apparently, the Department of Homeland Security had been monitoring our social media presence. I didn't even have Twitter at the time, but that was before I even joined Twitter, and certainly before I was banned from there. And that they their metrics were telling them that we're going to turn out a much larger crowd than originally expected. Now, this was something that we did in 2015 it wasn't a paid admission type of thing. We put out the word and we raised awareness on the program. Come to Forest Park on this day and let's defend this monument, this beautiful, maybe the most beautiful equestrian monument that's ever been cast to Nathan Bedford Forrest. Let's do this together. And we worked with other groups, and we had a permit for 150 people. And we thought, you know, that'd be a good crowd. Ended up having over 500. And DHS knew it before we did, because nobody had to RSVP or anything like that. And so we had this crowd that was much larger than expected. And they told me in no uncertain terms to cease any further promotion of the event on this radio program. That was back in 2015. We expected 150. The permit was actually for 200.
I wonder if they ever made that type of phone call to Al
Sharpton. Exactly. Well, did they make it to Martin Luther King or any of the people wreaking havoc and violence everywhere they went during the so-called civil rights movement? No, they didn't. But we had over 500 people. We answered the call.
The civil wrongs movement.
We answered the call. And I had the privilege that day of being approached by a seemingly endless stream of listeners, some of whom I had met before, most of whom I had not, and had the pleasure of meeting for the first time. One young man told me he drove more than 10 hours that day just to be there, and several others had come from out of state as well. And I think if we'd been allowed to proceed unencumbered with our promotional campaign, we could have had 750, 1,000 people might have appeared. Regardless, that was 2015. In today's political climate, to see that many men, women, and children make a and there was a lot of kids there, you were there, Keith, of course. A show of support and solidarity that was nothing short of inspirational. Confederate history, fighting for the memory of our ancestors, has always been a foundational pillar of this program. And the caliber of people there that day in 2015 was top shelf. We talked to off-duty law enforcement officers, doctors, business professionals from all walks of life, all either holding or wearing a Confederate flag. People always remember the screw-ups, okay? You remember Charlottesville. And that's not the because of our people. Our people walked into something that no one, I mean, now you look back.
It's unprecedented in American history.
It wasn't the fault of our people. We know a lot of great people were there. We stand 100% with the people of Charlottesville, the people who were on our side at Charlottesville. We've talked about it from 2017 before it happened, the day of the event, maybe our best show ever since then. We were on the right side, all right, there. But you have heard about Charlottesville because of the way the powers that be were able to manipulate that event for it to be something that makes us look bad. You don't ever hear. You hear about the screw-ups. You don't hear about Forest Park. You don't hear about the 500 people we turned out, and there wasn't a piece of trash left at the end of the day. And we've got pictures from that event. You don't hear really about the 250 people we turned out in 2005 to protest Al Sharpton. This show has always delivered results. We have always done things the right way. But you don't hear about that as much as you do the debacles.
Well, you never hear about Shelbyville, which was shortly after Charlottesville.
Well, you hear a little bit about that.
where the police did their job and kept the two groups of protesters apart. If only the police force, the gendarmes at Charlottesville, had done that, you wouldn't have heard anything about Charlottesville. But instead, the left was spoiling for a fight, and they tried to turn the peaceful protesters on our side into monsters, just like they did the peaceful protesters on January the 6th. You know, there's definitely a double standard here. Like we said, everybody can protest peacefully, except white Gentiles from the founding stock of America.
We've got pictures of this. Go to our website, TPC's 2015 event at Forest Park. 500 people. We got the pictures. Nobody could do that. Nobody else could do that. They did, a multi operational and organizational effort at Charlottesville, turned out more than that. But that was the second largest pro-Confederate rally in the immediate aftermath of the Dylann Roof incident. And there was one bigger in Ocala, and there was a lot smaller, but there were a lot. And I remember the SPLC emailing me, how did you get 500 people? Of course, I never responded to the SPLC. But again, people remember the disasters. They don't as easily remember the things done well. Eddie the Bombardier Miller was there. His picture holding a Confederate flag at that Forest Park rally appeared
in
hundreds of newspapers around the world. It was picked up by the AP. Hundreds of newspapers around the world. We do things the right way. And we'll be right back.
Hey friends, James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interest includes contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America. Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity. The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism. Speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone. So check out their catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com.
The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
One, two, three. Turn
You never have to miss Alabama when Courtney from Alabama is on. And we're wrapping up Confederate History Month with her this year. The 2024 installment is coming to a close. It went by really fast.
But it would never come to an end without hearing first from Courtney of Alabama.
Well, that's exactly right. So let's let her say hello very quickly. Courtney, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you for having me on. Did you want to give more of an intro, or do you want me to get into it?
No, we got a little extra time with you now. I guess I'll ask you, Neil Young or Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Oh, everybody knows the answer to that one. Lynyrd Skynyrd, of course.
Hey, I got a trivia question for Keith. Keith, can you name all the guests we've had on during Confederate History Month this year?
No, I can't.
Let's try to give them a quick shout-out before we wrap it up. We had Michael Gaddy that first week. We were transitioning from March Around the World to Confederate History Month. And Michael Hill, John Hill, Kirk Lyons, and then last week, do you remember last week?
No. I mean, my head is like a sieve.
What about tonight? Do you remember Taylor Young?
Taylor Young. Yeah, I remember Taylor Young. Right.
What about, you know, Courtney's on right now, right?
I know Courtney's on, and Walter Jones was here speaking from beyond the pale.
last week, Brad Griffin, Gene Andrews, and Patrick Martin. Fantastic company for Confederate History Month this year. Courtney's got something that's going to bring it all into sharp focus and going to put a pretty bow on it, and she's going to take it away right now. Courtney, what is on your mind tonight, and how should we wrap up Confederate History Month 2024 here on TPC?
Well, I hate to say it, guys, fellas, but you know, usually I'm known as being an optimist, but I have to say, I mean, I'm just growing more and more pessimistic about the South continuing into the future as a cultural region, and I'm going to explain why for a few reasons. Well, one of the reasons is the baby boomers in the South are really the last generation down here that's really keeping the South Southern. And
finally, a good word for the baby boomers. I don't think I've heard, Brad Griffin hasn't had anything good to say about us, but I'm so glad that somebody from Alabama is saying that, you know, the baby boomers, for example, we have
I wish you hadn't said it, Courtney, because you set him off. Yeah, here he goes.
Yeah.
We wound him up.
We have more conservatives in that group than in the millennials or in Gen Z or Gen X. Or Gen Y. So consequently, you know, people that are saying that baby boomers are the problem, they need to get
their facts straight. They never met you, Keith.
Yeah, right. I'll argue with them till the day I die. Go ahead.
Well, I love Brad Griffin, but I agree with you about baby boomers, and you know, because they're keeping our country. They're the last generation that's keeping our country white, and they're the last generation that's keeping the South Southern. And sadly, they're going to start dying off soon. It's really sad. One of the reasons they're keeping the South Southern is they're the last generation in the South that can still remember the old South. My parents, you know, they were children in Montgomery, Alabama during the 50s and the 60s before all the radical changes took place. And I know Keith remembers the South during this time, too. Another reason the baby boomers are largely keeping the South Southern is because most of them, you know, you go up to most white baby boomers in the South, most of them are actual real Southerners with ethnic Southern ancestry. Like, and I've talked about what that is before. Most of them can trace most of their heritage to the Confederacy. Now, when you get to my,
they have Southern accents too.
Exactly. When you get to my generation and James's generation, you know, James and I were born in the early 80s and we're part of that generation. And this is starting to become less common with our generation. Now, I know that with James and myself, we can both safely say that all four of our grandparents, all four of our respective grandparents were real Southerners, as were all eight of our great-grandparents. And I know for myself,
here.
You know, I'm sorry, did you want to say something?
No, I just said here. I was pointing out your point as
he was drinking at the time.
Because we're thankful for it.
Yeah. And you know, not only are all my ancestors Southerners, but I can also say that half of them, at least 50% of them, were in the state of Alabama at the time that it was a state territory still. But sadly, in our generation, James, is becoming less and less common. It's not always a given. You know, it's not nearly as common as it was for the baby boomers. Now, I think in the rural areas, most people are still Southern, including in our children's generation, like within the rural areas. You know, we're young generations. I think most people in the rural areas are still Southerners. So they'll preserve it there for quite some time. But in the cities, we're becoming more and more extinct, and I think it's sad. Now, another reason I'm pessimistic about our future is, to be frank, there's not enough Southerners who are as closed-minded as I am about this topic. And I'm not saying that to be arrogant, because I wish more people were as closed-minded as I was. You know, there's a stereotype that, you know, the average Southerner, like, we're all sitting on our front porch with our bare feet and our shotguns,
And it's like if a outsider comes around, you know, we're like, you're not from around here, are you? I mean, most Southerners these days are not like that anymore. Most Southerners are way too open about who lives here. And, you know, like the average Southerner I'm around, it's like they're like, oh, yeah, as long as you vote the right way, come one, come all, as many of you who want to move here as you want to, as long as you vote the right way. Well, okay, if you want the entire South to turn into Raleigh, North Carolina, where it's a bunch of ugly, sprawling cities with strip malls everywhere and billboards, and it's a bunch of white people living together who have nothing in common other than that they like to shop and go to restaurants, well, that's what you're advocating for. You're not advocating to preserve the South. You can't have the South unless you have Southerners living in it.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that, Courtney, because everybody is applauding the fact that blue state America is emptying out into red state America, but you've just pointed out the problem with that paradigm. If they come down here and they bring their politics with them, the South is finished.
Well, even conservatives coming from the left coast are going to be left-wingers to us. They may be conservative to fellow Californians, but that doesn't mean they're going to be conservative down here in the South. And, of course, you have a much more transient society now. I mean, it's just that's just the way it's gone with the progress, and I don't use that as a joke in this regard, with transportation. I mean, you know, gone are the days of horse and buggy, and certainly gone are the days of the medieval times where people didn't travel more than 20 miles from where they were born in their entire lives. Now with automobiles and airplanes, people can move wherever they want to, yeah. And they are flooding the South to get away from the blue states, and it is becoming less Southern. Especially a big difference, though, still, and I talked with Courtney about this, big difference still between urban and rural areas in the South. The cities are pretty much gone. You don't have that Southern culture there in the major cities of the South. But in the rural areas, you can still find it.
Well, let me say this for a parting shot and then let Courtney take it over. That started in the 50s and 60s. Corporate America intentionally transferred people all around the country.
Chamber of Commerce, yeah.
Yeah, to do away with the regionalism. And I remember having two friends in the 7th and 8th grade whose fathers had moved here from the north, one from Pennsylvania, another from California. And they used to lecture me on the Civil War and on slavery and on the black situation. And I told them, I said, how can you even pretend to understand this when you've grown up in a lily white part of the country where if you wanted to see a black person, you had to turn on the television set. I said, walk a mile in our shoes and you will find out. I like the old saying, before you criticize your adversary, walk a mile in his shoes. Then when you criticize him, you'll be a mile away and you'll have his shoes.
Very good, Keith. I've never heard that one before. Courtney, back to you.
How much time do I have? I'm just trying to think of how to end.
As much as you want.
Well, we do have to take this bottom of the hour break, so we got about a minute, and then
Let her go on.
Well, we can't do that. We got to take the bottom of the hour break. But you got a minute, and then we will be back with you for the final two segments.
You know what y'all just went into about how we can't really regulate the movement of people in this country anymore. This is exactly why we should have been allowed to break away the first time. People in our movement, especially here in America, they have a hard time understanding that different white people create different cultures and societies. Italians make different societies than Germans do. Slavs make different societies than Scandinavians do. Southerners make different societies than New Englanders do, which is interesting because both Southerners and New Englanders are both from, we both came from the founding stock, but yet we've evolved into completely different people. I mean, I think we should be preserving these differences. I think it's what makes us great. I don't think large, massive white empires will work. We've already tried that here in America as an experiment, and it hasn't worked, to be honest. It has failed. I mean, we can't even agree, like, for Americans that are just within our movement in this country, we can't agree on stuff. We can't agree if we should be more Protestant or Catholic. We can't agree if we should be religious or not religious. And that's just one example. Look at these white people just within our movement.
Hold on right there. We'll come back with you, Courtney, to continue that thought. And what a thought. right after this. Stay tuned. Courtney from Alabama wrapping up Confederate History Month.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jen Gelber. In the past 2 weeks, hundreds of people across the U.S. have been arrested for protesting the Gaza war. Anti-Israel demonstrations have emerged nationwide since the NYPD arrested over 100 demonstrators at Columbia University on April 18th. According to the New York Times, protesting students have been setting up tents at campuses across the country, resulting in over 400 protesters being arrested for refusing to disperse. The United States is providing Ukraine with its largest military aid package to date. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced Friday a package worth $6 billion, which will include munitions for Patriot missile defense systems.
That will allow us to procure new capabilities for Ukraine from U.S. industry.
Austin expressed gratitude to Congress for passing foreign aid legislation that allocates over $60 billion in aid for Ukraine. He emphasized that with the right level of support, Ukraine can fend off Russia's invasion. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell told NBC's Meet the Press that he doesn't believe presidents should have absolute immunity for actions taken while in office. This comes as the Supreme Court heard arguments related to former President Trump on Thursday. McConnell reiterated his stance, which he made after voting to acquit Trump following the 2021 Capitol riot, suggesting that the former president could be held accountable by the justice system. He emphasized that it would ultimately be up to the Supreme Court to decide. Approximately 1 in 5 samples of pasteurized retail milk are showing traces of bird flu. However, the FDA clarifies that this doesn't automatically indicate a risk of infection for customers. In a recent update, the FDA stated that further testing is required to confirm the presence of pathogens in the milk. Additionally, it reiterated its warning against consuming raw milk. I'm Jen Gelber, USA News.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in 3 delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixies, Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
Song, song of the South, sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind, there ain't nobody looking back again. Cotton on the roadside, cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South, sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth. Gone, gone with the wind, there ain't nobody looking back again.
For my money, Keith Alexander, the most beautiful people that have ever existed. They are our people. This is my people, Southern Democrats, picking cotton. My grandparents were sharecroppers on my mom's side. And this is something that I'm very proud of, going back down there to Mississippi to visit the graves of my dad's parents in Corinth, Mississippi, fought in the war, my mom's parents in Pontotoc, Mississippi. This is it. I mean, this is who we are. And if you don't defend who you are, who are you?
Well, you know, we were made to feel ashamed, or they tried to make us feel ashamed of our Southern heritage back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. But it didn't work because we have that much strength in our sense of identity. And Courtney knows that. Courtney knows that despite all the slings and arrows we've absorbed from the in the culture wars over that period of time, over the past 70 years, we are still a distinct part of the nation. We are the South, the only truly distinct part of the nation that there is.
That's right. That's exactly right. And with that, back to our friend.
Thank you. Yeah, I was talking about white, massive white empires a minute ago before the break, and you know, I mean, this is just reality. People are tribal. When you try to force a large group of people together into one empire, even if they're all the same race, I mean, they're still going to find ways to divide in the future. I mean, that's just a fact. I think we might as well preserve the differences that we already have, that have a history to them and that are more ancient. And, you know, and there's nothing divisive about this. It's just reality. I mean, we can work together for a common greater cause as white people and support each other, but that doesn't mean we all have to be sharing the same communities and living in the same regions together. I think it's better to focus on your local community. And then as a race, we become stronger when all of our communities are strong. And I can give some examples here. You know, I love the country of Switzerland. It just seems like the perfect country. Like, I would love to go there and live. You know, I would just love that.
That's because you like, wait, hang on a minute. You like the sound of music, though.
It's cold weather.
I do. I, you know, that whole culture there, Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, it's just so beautiful. I mean, all of our people make great cultures. I mean, different.
Did you ever notice, though, Courtney, that in that sound of music, you know, Captain Von Trapp is against the Nazis?
I'm sure she noticed that if she ever saw the movie.
And, of course, and then on the other hand, he must have been a very rare Austrian because they had a plebiscite, an actual vote on whether they should remain a separate country or join Germany. 99% of the population voted to join Germany.
We're digressing now, but anyway.
Go ahead.
She knows.
Right. Yeah. It's. Yeah. No. You're right. You're exactly right. But I do like that whole culture. They're just like I like all white cultures. But there's just something about Switzerland. It just seems like the perfect white country to live in. But I would never advocate. I would never say, okay, the Switzerland needs to open its borders up and let all these white, millions of white Southerners go there to live because we're tired of getting treated badly in America, you know, so they need to let us in because we're white like they are, so they should let us in. Well, no offense to Southerners, but if millions of us went to go live in Switzerland, we would change the country dramatically. They have this way over there. They have this very German efficiency over there, whereas Southerners do things more slowly. And, you know, we're just not like them. We would change their country. You know? And, you know, and I can give examples in our own country. you know, up in the Northeast, you have like these communities and these cities, like these Italian communities in the Northeast that are in these cities like Philadelphia and New York City. I mean, I can't imagine, like, if you were to replace the Italian Americans in those places with white Southerners, I mean, there's no way that things would be the same. We would tear down their Italian restaurants and put up barbecue houses everywhere. I mean, apart from all this, I can't. It's like,
She's talking about, Keith, can you imagine raising the Confederate battle flag on the Matterhorn?
Well, I think they would probably take it better than a person from Massachusetts would.
in the case of these Italian-American communities up in New York City and Philadelphia, we couldn't replace them and recreate their cultures up there the way they do it, like their pizza shops and their gelato shops. In fact, you know, I'm surprised they haven't made a comedy about this. I mean, can you imagine Southerners living in New York City as a community? We wouldn't survive.
It's called the Beverly Hillbillies.
You know, well, you know, Keith, though, as proud as I am of my Southern patrimony, what do we have on that sound from Philadelphia, New York, and New Jersey?
That doo-wop sound. Exemplified by the Four Seasons.
Yeah. It's like, as I mentioned, we all have great cultures to preserve. And, I'm surprised they haven't made a comedy about white Southerners trying to live in New York City. It would be like the reverse situation of my cousin Vinny.
The Beverly Hillbillies, which was Southerners going to Jewish Hollywood, which was, that had enough humor in it to last for six seasons, I believe.
Right, exactly. That's another good comparison I didn't think of. But, you know, I've noticed, I just gave two good examples, but why is it? I feel like whenever I talk about the South the way I do, like we have a right to preserve ourselves and that we're different from other white people. It's like, I feel like every time I talk about this, I'm always getting lectured about being divisive. And to be honest with everyone, I mean, I know I sound like a broken record and I probably bring this up way too much, but I just don't care anymore if I'm offending people, because what I'm saying is true. There's a tendency in our country, like within America, it seems to only be Anglo-Celtic people, Protestant Anglo-Celtic people in this country who get these types of lectures about how we shouldn't be too proud of ourselves. And I'm getting a little tired of it. I've noticed that we can't even compliment ourselves as Southerners in this movement without making a moral equivalency argument, without saying, oh, but white people in the Midwest are just like us. Well, no, I can think of a lot of reasons white people in the Midwest are different from Southerners. No offense to them. They're great people, but they're different. Number one, they have a different history than us. Most white Southerners are descended from the founding stock. The Midwesterners, they're descended from a mix of the founding stock, and a lot of them are descended from immigrants from Germany, Scandinavia, and Eastern Europe. There's nothing wrong with that, but it has made them into a different region than the South. To say we're exactly the same is ridiculous. Also, I know people are going to get mad at me for saying this, but also, you have more white people up there who vote Democrat than you do in the South, and that's just a fact. When they talk about the blue wall during election season, they're not talking about Southern states. So I think as Southerners in this movement, we have every right to be proud, to look at ourselves as a distinct people who deserve to be preserved without getting lectured from people. I'm not going to take it anymore, and I'll let you all talk.
Well, I gotta say this. I'm receiving email. You know, during any broadcast, we receive emails and even text messages throughout the show, and we're receiving one now from the Washington D.C. area. So this is behind enemy lines. Even though I think D.C. is below the Mason-Dixon line,
yeah, but behind enemy lines for sure.
But a listener in D.C. says Courtney is a TPC legend. That's what I just received. That.
Well, she is. What can we say? Guilty as charged.
I've been called worse.
Keith had a response before we go to the next and final break of Confederate History Month 2024.
Well, I was going to say that even though they're not just like us, they are more like us than they are the liberal denizens of blue state America, full of abolitionist Yankees and Ashkenazi Jews. So consequently, you know, they are trying, that they identify with us. They come here, as we've talked about many times, Courtney. Most of the people in the interior West were refugees from Reconstruction. That's why all the cowboys spoke with Southern accents. And that's why, for example, in the Mountain West and in the Great Basin area, more and more of those people are, you know, discovering their Southern roots.
Well, Courtney, one of your fraternity sisters from the Valentine's Day broadcast and also featured throughout the year as well, Janice, has just texted me in real time here. Janice at 8:44 p.m. Central Standard Time. Courtney is right. Been saying it for years. Midwesterners are not the same as Southerners, and I am one, so I know we are not the same, she writes. Aww. Courtney, would you respond to your fraternity sister on the V-Day?
Sorority sister.
Sorority, yeah. Excuse me.
Yeah, don't get the genders confused.
Well, it's a crazy. As the kink said, boys will be girls and girls will be boys. No, anyway, we'll let Courtney respond.
Hey, friends, James Edwards here again to remind you that Antelope Hill Publishing is America's premier provider of dissident literature. They print books that mainstream publishers are too afraid to touch, providing you with information you need to challenge the status quo. Whether your interest includes contemporary dissident politics, history that would otherwise be censored or slandered, philosophy, or exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you'll find plenty to love in the Antelope Hill catalog, which includes books such as Generation 68, The Elite Revolution and Its Legacy, about the elite-driven cultural revolution of the 1960s, which transformed America. Whitey on the Moon, about the demise of the space program due to diversity. The Sword of Christ, which argues for restoring Christianity as the foundation of the West and combating heresies like Christian Zionism. Speeches by Mussolini and other historical figures, and much more. With new titles added every month, there's no doubt that they have something for everyone. So check out their catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Almost heaven, West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, blowing like a breeze. Country roads take you home.
Such a beautiful expression of humanity. I'm so proud of my Southern patrimony, so proud to be Southern by the grace of God, Keith Alexander. This is our people. This is who we fight for. This is who we are. How can we be anything less? Well, you got to turn your mic on, though.
I better turn on my microphone, yeah. This is our heritage, and we're not going to surrender it, and we're not going to be bludgeoned out of it. We're going to rise and win again. That's what's in the process of happening right now, folks. You got to believe in it.
All right, so Courtney, I wanted to have you respond, and thank you, Keith, for the general correction there. That is a sorority sister, not a fraternity sister, but Janice.
Yeah, gender confusion has gotten into the TPC.
Been saying it for years, Midwesterners are not the same as Southerners, and I know because I am one, and your response to that, and always good when you and Janice are on the show together in any way that that can be made possible.
I love Janice, a wonderful, amazing woman that I look up to. I'm glad she wrote that in. That's very sweet of her. And I want to tie this into something Keith just said. Yes, the interior West is a very different. It's not the same as the Midwest. The interior West, I would say, if we're going to talk about a region that's most like the South, yes, it's like the Mountain West, the interior West where the cowboys went. It is not the Midwest as a whole. I mean, you could say parts of the Midwest are similar to the South, like especially the lower Midwest, the southern Indiana, Missouri. But as a region as a whole, I mean, it has a lot of differences from the South. Now, the interior West, you know, the Mountain West, I'd say that area is a little different. It has more in common with the South. It was more directly settled by the South. And, you know, it's the same thing with the lower prairie states. So I think we need to make those distinctions.
All right, Courtney, I got an important question for you. This is a big one, and I want you to think about it because I asked you this earlier this week and told you I would be asking you this. Throughout the history of Western civilization, we have had so many heroes who existed before 1861, and we've even had a few that came after 1865. Why is it, in your opinion, that we focus, at least on this program and at least in this particular month, so intensively focus on this one very short 4-year span in this history of our people?
Okay, and I'm just going to regurgitate what I answered you before because that's what I'm the best rehearsed on. And it's all from my heart, of course. I feel very compassionate about this. Well, I'll be honest, I'm sure the audience has noticed that there's something different about me from all the, you know, a lot of your guests during this month are usually men, and they, you know, and I think this is a good thing, they tend to focus on the battles and the heroes of the war itself, and you know, we need to emphasize that. As a woman, I kind of approach it differently. I look at that as the Civil War as representation of the fight for our people as Southerners, you know, our blood, you know, who we are as a people. And our blood, it's not just a 4-year period in the 1860s, the 4 or 5 year period that matters. That's not the only time we existed. The blood of Southerners goes back to, it goes all the way back to the Celtic tribes of Scotland and, you know, the Anglo-Saxons of England, the heroes from that time. It goes back to William Wallace. It goes back to the founding fathers, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. It goes back to the pioneers, Davy Crockett. I think the Civil War heroes were the icing on the cake. They were the last stand to really preserve us as a people. There have been people since then, like Jane said, who have continued to try to fight to for us, like it's like my mind's blank right now. Forgive me if I say the wrong name, George Wallace. Same, anyways. Did I get it?
You know, George Wallace. That was one of them, right, Keith?
Yeah, I remember him.
Like, I remember, you know, that guy.
People who have, and I'm sorry, I'm a mom, so my mind goes blank when it should, and I should definitely remember that name. But, you know, there have been people who have fought for us in more recent decades, but I think the Civil War was really the last stand, and we should have been allowed to break away, because then we wouldn't have any of these, a lot of these issues we're dealing with now.
Well, this is, and that was a fine answer, and this is what you texted me earlier this week in response to that exact same question. Why, of all the heroes of Western civilization, because we don't spend a month of programming on
any, Scottish history.
That's, or any of it, Roman, Greek, whatever. I said, why this 4-year period? And this is what you wrote, Courtney. Maybe men think about this differently since they like to focus on the war itself and the battles. And you mentioned that just a moment ago. But I focus more on our people, our culture, our history, and our blood. For me, being a Southerner is more than just a 4-year period in history. It is about celebrating William Wallace, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Davy Crockett. All of those people are in our DNA. The War Between the States heroes are at the end of that line, and they are important to me, you write, because they fought so hard to preserve us as a people. They were the last line of defense that could have stopped what I'm upset about today. There were other people who came later, but it wasn't the same. And this is something that the great Sam Dixon emailed me at some point months ago, and I saved it for an occasion just such as this. He wrote, "This is why history is so important. History is our collective memory. And as important, it is as important to a nation as an individual's memories are important to him or her. In Western nations, not only is our history, our memory, being erased, but even worse, it is being replaced by false memories, and that is a profound thing. And so that is why we celebrate Confederate History Month. And with only a
Truth alive.
With only a minute remaining, I believe, do we have a very special guest, Liz? Is he still there? All right. Dad, are you there?
Yes. Do you hear me?
I can hear you. My dad wrapping up Confederate History Month.
Couldn't be a better ending.
How about that? Well, hey, first of all, you know, you've been listening to Dad texts us throughout every show every week. You know that, Keith? What did you think about tonight's show, Dad?
Oh, it was wonderful. The lady was a breath of fresh air, true daughter of the South.
You like Courtney?
Oh, yeah. She's a great.
Thank you. Yes,
every time she's on, you like her? Well, yeah. We're patting each other on the back now. Go ahead.
Oh, you want me? When you were growing up, James, we had an Uncle Frank. He was your Grandpa Frank's brother-in-law, and he had one child, and he died, and he kind of took us for his grandkids, and he would come up every Christmas between Thanksgiving and Christmas and stay a week with us. I was talking to him about famous people that he had met. And he said he had met Harry Truman when he was a bag man for the mafia.
I've never heard that before.
It's the truth, though.
Yeah. And
the Jewish mafia.
Yeah, it was the truth. And
Dad's backing up his bulldozer while he's here on the air. You hear the backing up sound. But anyway, all right, keep going.
So he talked about meeting Harry Truman and and he said when he was young, he'd go to a movie theater every Saturday. And there was these two old men there that opened the doors. And would open the doors for the kids and give them change out of their pocket. And those two old men was Frank James and Cole Younger.
How about that, Keith? Really? What about that?
I tell you what, history lives.
And where Grandpa Frank lived when you were young, they lived close to a place called Pete Bertha's Hill. We used to go out there and pick up mini balls where they fought a battle there. And I had them until we moved, and I ended up losing them. But that's where the Battle of Corinth was fought. Yeah.
Hey, you saw the saddle that
our ancestor also.
Yeah, you saw the saddle from Shiloh.
He had a McClellan saddle with the saber that went through it. The stirrups had blood on them, and somebody stole that from Grandpa. But that was a hell of a thing to see when. You were little.
Well, I hope he got a lot of them at Shiloh. I hope he got a lot of them. I can tell you're on the dozer right now, Papa.
Backing up.
What are you doing right now? What are you doing? But anyway.
Working in a warehouse. I'm working on a forklift.
We got to go. I love you, but it's 9 o'clock, and it means it's time to go. I know you never miss a show, so you know 9 o'clock. I love you. I'll talk to you after this. Okay. For Keith Alexander, Courtney, everybody, Walter Jones, everybody, Confederate History Month, Mark around the world. Courtney, we love you. And
Jimmy, we love you.
Love you all.
My dad, one of a kind. All right. Well, anyway, hey, Confederate History Month 2024 is in the books. We got a busy year to come, though, and it's going to get started next week. We got to do something.
Next week is Eskimo Appreciation Week.
Good night, everybody. God bless you. If Jesus tarries and the creek don't rise, we'll talk to you next week.